Advancing through the globalist agenda. Welcome, Owen Schroyer.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you can support us by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. And let me tell you what we have going on this week. We have a sale happening this week. The buy one, get one bombshell sale. 25% off everything extended one more day. That was supposed to end yesterday. We've extended that one more day. Buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free Sheila Jeet gummies. Buy one, get one free sea moss gummies. That's the bombshell sale happening this week. Unleash your inner warrior with the buy one, get one bombshell sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Happening this week only. Grab a bottle of Sheila Jeet gummies and get another bottle free, boosting your energy and stamina like never before. Or double up on methylene blue tincture to supercharge your cognitive focus with this incredible buy one, get one deal. Don't miss out on Ultimate Sea Moss Gummies. Also buy one, get one free to support your immune system and overall wellness. Shop now at thealexjonesstore.com and fuel your fight for health while supplies last. You remember those old vitamins you used to get as a kid that were like really chalky? You guys remember that? They come in like cartoon shapes. Yeah, everybody kind of remembers the Flintstones ones. I think those are the most popular ones. And it turned out that most of those were mostly kind of good for nothing. Not loaded like this, but, you know, a lot of kids, their parents would sit out the vitamins on the counter every morning. And before you go to school, you go chomp your vitamins down. Well, this is like probably better for you and tastes better. It's not like a chalk in your mouth. The gummies. Put a couple sea moss gummies out there on the counter for your kids before they go to school. And they're going to love the taste and it's going to be good for them. The problem is they're going to be wanting more because they taste so good. So I guess not everything is perfect, or maybe things can be too good. But if you've never tried those, and you just don't like swallowing capsules, swallowing pills, try the gummies out. The Sheila Jeet gummies, the sea moss gummies, both buy one, get one free. I think we've got other gummy options as well. But both of those are buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And remember, every purchase you make at thealexjonesstore.com qualifies for multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways. Right now, it's the Ford F-250. Powder blue. Monster truck. The only way to win is by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Hey, DuckDuckGo has made this announcement. If you guys want to B-roll the video they've put up. And this is just kind of an update from them, but I think there's a larger issue here. New setting from DuckDuckGo. It's a search engine that tries to compete with Google. Hide AI-generated images in DuckDuckGo. Our philosophy about AI features is private, useful, and optional. Our goal is to help you find what you're looking for. You should decide for yourself how much AI, artificial intelligence, you want in your life, or if you want any at all. And I was thinking about this, and just generally, what happens when AI reaches some critical mass and it can start pumping out news stories under a pseudonym, or like apparently is already the issue here, generating so many images in popular search trends that now you're just looking through images and you're finding AI stuff. So think about the implications of that. We saw how the former Israeli prime minister ran a digital cover-up campaign with his statement about Epstein last week. That's all that was a digital cover-up campaign so that when you search Epstein Mossad, you no longer find the stories of Epstein being connected to Mossad. Instead, you find all the stories about the Israeli former prime minister saying no connections. So see how that works? So imagine AI getting in there. Imagine what you can do when it's AI. That's like human intelligence that was running that digital cover-up campaign. Imagine when it's artificial intelligence running these campaigns. We're not having the conversations that need to be had about this.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Ship. Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
You know, since we're talking AI, let's play this other clip. I mean, I don't spend too much time thinking about it. Other than when I do think about it, I realize we're not doing near enough to address the potential issues. And it's funny because I was, and maybe AI is already reading minds. Would that surprise anybody, by the way? Would anybody be shocked if AI can somehow already read minds? What if it could train itself how to read minds? What if it could grow and evolve organically? Is anybody talking about this? We have proof that some AI has developed survival mechanisms. But I actually was thinking about this the other day. Somebody made a post about birth rates, which I'm not a big birth rate guy, but, you know, somebody made the post about birth rates and now we're not having enough kids. And then there was another story I was reading about how skilled jobs that require training to learn are becoming, it's like they're finding less men to do some of these jobs. Like, we need more doctors. We need more engineers. It's just an example. But what happens when AI totally takes over? And this is multi-front. And of course, this is why I'm like, is AI reading my mind? And I'm reading these stories and I'm thinking about it. And then this video pops up about AI. So it's probably just the algorithm on my phone feeding me what I am consuming, or more of what I've already consumed. But what about this issue? Now, this is from Futurama, Matt Groening, who somehow has an ability to predict the future almost to a perfect degree with some of his Simpsons shows. But what happens in a future world where men are now basically conquered by artificial intelligence? So this clip kind of comes off a little funny in the beginning, and it's kind of hypothetical, but it's also a very real situation now. And to give you the context here, what happens when men no longer have a desire to be with women? Or let's say that desire has been replaced by an AI, like we just saw Grok comes out with this, you know, blonde with, you know, she's not flat. Let's put it that way. She's bouncing around. So what happens when the desire that men have to make it with women, what happens when that desire is almost completely destroyed by AI? It's an educational video from Futurama.
Ordinary human dating. It's enjoyable and it serves an important purpose. But when a human dates an artificial mate, there is no purpose, only enjoyment. And that leads to tragedy.
Neato, a Marilyn Monroe bot.
You're a real dreamboat.
Billy Everteen.
Harmless fun? Let's see what happens next.
Mm. Mm. Billy?
Do you want to walk your dog?
No, thanks, Mom. I'd rather make out with my Monrobot.
Millie, do you want to get a paper route and earn some extra cash?
No, thanks, Dad. I'd rather make out with my Monrobot.
Billy, do you want to come over tonight? We can make out together.
Gee, Mavis, your house is across the street. That's an awfully long way to go for making out.
Did you notice what went wrong in that scene? Ordinarily, Billy would work hard to make money with his paper route. Then he'd use the money to buy dinner for Mavis, thus earning a slim chance to perform the reproductive act. But in a world where teens can date robots, why should he bother? Why should anyone bother? Let's take a look at Billy's planet a year later. Where are all the football stars? And where are the biochemists? They're trapped. Trapped in the soft, vice-like grip of robot lips. All civilization was just an effort to impress the opposite sex. And sometimes the same sex. Now, let's skip forward 80 years into the future. Where's Billy?
Farewell!
The next day, Billy's planet was destroyed by aliens. Have you guessed the name of Billy's planet? It was Earth. Don't date robots!
Brought to you by
the Space Pope.
All right, well, there it is. Don't date robots. Don't do it. Aside from the fun nature of that little clip, is that not an existential threat? It's very well studied. It's taught in pretty much any psychological course you're going to take in college. They're going to teach how specifically, it happens with both sexes, but specifically for men, part of the motivational factor to be successful, whether that's, you know, making money, material goods, superficial goods, whatever, is to attract women. And women have the same survival instincts in themselves. You know, they get called gold diggers or whatever. It's kind of a, you know, an unfair attack, even if it is reality. No, women are just drawn to resources. They want to know that their man can provide for them, protect them, provide for their offspring, protect their offspring. And so, yeah, they like rich men. That's why they like tall men or strong men. So it's all just biological. Well, when you erase this biological process that has built civilization to this point, well, what happens? Civilization collapses. And we're really not even into that phase yet. You're still dealing with, okay, what about like stories in Japan? And I guess Japan's doing all right, but you have stories in Japan where you have young men that aren't even interested in women. They're not even interested. And they say, yeah, I just watch porn all day because I don't like women anymore. There was another story that hit the American media last week. Guys, see if you can find it. It was like 20% of men, 20% of men, modern men under the age of 30 have never even approached a woman. And I'm like, what? See, so what you have is now it's AI. We're not quite there yet, but it's you have all of this stuff in the digital world that is destroying the normal human ritual. The normal rituals for a man or a woman are being destroyed by this digital world that exists in our pocket, a smartphone, exists on our computer, the internet. So what happens when these rituals are gone? What happens when all the things that drive civilization, that drive human biology, are replaced and replicated by AI? Civilization collapses. So whether it's about birth rates or whether it's about people learning to be a doctor or an engineer, an inventor, whatever, this is where it's going. And so I guess the people that are behind this are saying, well, who cares? We'll run the planet. We'll put everything into an AI algorithm. And so that'll be what the people want. And that's virtually every dystopic, futuristic sci-fi movie. But where are the conversations about this? Where is any counter to this? Is it in the church? Is it in the media? You get a little bit of culture, but then those individuals end up being attacked and ridiculed, and they're called toxic masculinists, and they're called Nazis. So you've got these issues with AI nobody's talking about. What happens when AI can just rig an internet better than any intelligence community can, better than any government can? What happens when men are no longer driven to succeed? What happens when men are no longer driven to success because everything can just be right in front of them at the flick of a switch? Are we really having these conversations, or are we just going to launch into this AI world and just leave the current world behind us? Seems like that's what's happening here. And, you know, I get into nostalgia not too often on the show. Sometimes I do on my X account. And I think about, because I read these stories like, oh, 20% of young men have never approached a woman. And then there was another story about teenagers and drinking. And look, I'm not endorsing teenagers drinking, but, you know, I was no square in high school. I went to tons of parties. But it was like, you know, that was kind of the culture in high school. That was kind of the culture in college. And there was some story about how teenagers and college kids, it was like now the majority of current teenagers have never even been to a house party. Never even been to a house party. It's just crazy to think that the world, that's just 20 years ago. That's just 20 years ago. Imagine another 20 years. Again, I'm not up here endorsing teenage drinking and being a dumbass teenager, but it's just like there's a culture there. There's something there. There's a human element there. There's a reason why it was cool. There's a reason why it was popular. There's a reason why you wanted to sneak out of your house. There's a reason why you wanted to go to the college house party and play a drinking game. And maybe a lot of that reason has to do with finding a mate. And we've just completely destroyed all of these cultural norms. And I'll be watching old videos. Like, I'm actually working on this compilation of high school before smartphones. And I just can't imagine these kids growing up, they don't even know what life was like before a smartphone. It's like totally foreign to them. How do you even explain that? How do you even explain that we used to live in the world we were present in? How do you even explain that we used to live in the world in front of us? Not in a screen, not in a digital world. It was actually right there. We were all in it together. And you could watch like old sporting events, like go watch Stone Cold Steve Austin doing a stunner, or go watch Mark McGwire hitting a home run. And what do you see? What do you see in those 1990 videos in that moment that everybody wanted to see? What did you see? What did you see when that stunner was happening? What did you see when that home run was in liftoff? You saw all the flashing lights. Just all at once. And it was a phenomenon. It was a representation of we're all here. We're all doing the same thing. We're all in this together. We're all in the moment. You don't get that anymore. Everybody's in their own little world, no matter where you're at. You go to a ball game, everybody's in their own little world. You go to school, everyone's in their own little world. You got after school activities, whatever, everybody's in their own little world. Everybody's always in their own little world. And it's stunning. It's stunning to me to think that was only 20 years ago and how it's so exponential. Like the world that I grew up in and the world that my dad grew up in, we have more in common there's more in common I have with my dad, or we have more shared life experience, we have more similar life experience, even with my grandfather, probably. I probably have more shared experience, a closer experience to one another with my grandfather than likely I will even have with my own children. Because they're going to grow up in a world where you pick which world the world in front of you, it doesn't even matter if you're there or not. And I just find it stunning nobody wants to talk about this. But, you know, maybe these guys did talk about it, and it was way too fast, and so nobody really cared, nobody really thought about it, so there was no interest. So they just said, well, screw it, let's just go all in. Because nobody's really talking about it. It's like everybody sees it. Everybody sees what's going on. Everybody sees how our souls are being sucked into these machines. Everybody sees how our consciousness is somewhere else. It's not even in the real world anymore. It's like everybody can see this. We all know what's going on, and it's only going one direction. But there's no correction, of course. There's no big warnings. And it's leading to all these mental issues. Like somebody did this lecture about how social media is destroying the youth. And it's why you have all these people with depression and all of these people going to get these pills and these mental disorders. Because it's like, yeah, well, what do? They follow these people on Instagram and they think, wow, they really do have it all. They never have any drama. They never have any sorrow. They never have any issues. Just, oh, look, they're living it all. They have it all. They have the fame. They have the fortune. They have the money, the wealth, everything. They're traveling. They're on boats. They're on everything. Why can't I have that? Well, that's just censored reality fed to you to depress you. And none of it's real. And it's like you want to find the healthiest people. They're the people that spend the least amount of time on their phones, on the internet, in nature. They don't even know what's going on. They don't even care. And actually, Musk said this the other day. He said, I was once worried about AI. Guys, see if you can find the Musk post. I believe he posted it on X. He was like, I was once worried about AI and what it's going to do to the future, but I was kind of all alone, so now I've just fully embraced it. It was something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. But it seems like that's just the attitude of the big tech industries now. It's like that's the attitude of the guys doing all this AI. They're just like, well, nobody really cared, so screw it. Let's just make everything AI. Let's just put everything onto the social grid, everything onto the AI grid, everything into our algorithms, and let's bring in the digital currency. Yeah, we'll call it crypto. We'll make it packageable with Bitcoin and Genius Act and everything else, but it's all going the same way. And that's why this big, beautiful bill, folks, it was just a giant business deal. And, you could make the argument and say, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with, throw a number out there. What do you want to do with $1 trillion? Do you want to give $1 trillion as welfare? Do you just want to throw $1 trillion like into a stimulus deal and just put it right into Americans' bank accounts because that's not going to do anything? Or do you want to cut a $1 trillion deal and put it into processing and manufacturing, and then that'll probably benefit the economy more in the long run, but it's still just a big, beautiful business deal. That's what it is. And so, yeah, it's all the big tech manufacturing and AI systems. They're all going to get filthy rich. They've got their cryptocurrency exchanges set up, ready to go. They're all going to get filthy rich. So it's just like, yeah, okay, well, you could stimulate the economy and just give $1 trillion away, or you could just stimulate the economy and cut these business deals and then have them institute some actual growth. But that's what's really going on here. And so Musk was like, tried to warn you about Sam Altman, but he's tight with Susie Wiles. So Elon Musk is like, yeah, I had my concerns about AI, but nobody else cared. So now I'm just embracing it. And I'm not even like a Luddite. I think technology can be used for good or bad. But I put up a poll on X, and I asked, is life better or worse with smartphones? And 90% of the people said worse. So if that's the case, imagine what happens if you think smartphones are bad. Wait till you literally are a human Android. And you say, well, I'll never be a human Android. You won't have a choice. You won't have a choice. You can basically go be Amish, or you're plugging into the technocracy. And you'll have a chip. You'll probably have multiple chips. It's like, okay, imagine your life without a car. It would be a lot more difficult, wouldn't it? Okay. Imagine your life without a smartphone. Well, it'd be a lot more difficult, wouldn't it? All right. Yeah. 10 years. Imagine your life without being plugged into the AI. That'll be a lot more difficult. So that's where it's going. And they're already building the system for you. Very lovingly. Very lovingly. Yeah, there it is right there. So what would you do? Would you go back if you could? Would you go back and destroy it? Or would you let it continue? Because it's only going to get worse. But nobody really wants to talk about it. All right. We're going to be joined by a guest coming up here to talk about some news that even the White House is addressing now. Marjorie Taylor Greene is addressing it. And it has to do with them wanting to have vaccine-like immunity for pesticide manufacturers. This is coming out of Congress. You know, all those pesticides that are causing people cancer, and then you see those ads for class action lawsuits. Yeah, they're trying to just normalize that and pass these new bills, giving them immunity. So big agriculture fighting for that. We're going to have a guest on to talk about that, as well as some other issues within MAHA, if you will, and the beef industry. She's been on before, very tuned into these issues. Brianna Sagdahl joining us shortly. The world you were raised to survive in no longer exists. Oh, boy. I was trying to move on from the nostalgia. You can't be doing this to me now. Wow. You guys remember those days? And what do they call it? The good old days. Them good old days are over. Actually, what I was told was them good old days are over, white boy. Them good old days are over, white boy. All right. Those good old days were for everyone, but all right. Okay. All right. Folks, as we hit the halfway point in the show, remember to shop at thealexjonesstore.com, where we have, I thought I was being gagged by the crew. I did. I thought somebody gagged me when they put this on my desk the other day. But no, you can get the shirt, Free Ghislaine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Because, of course, the Epstein thing was a hoax. So Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting in prison for trafficking minors to nobody. So Free Ghislaine, you know, we're all about freeing the innocently imprisoned. So Free Ghislaine, get your Free Ghislaine t-shirt and much more at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Brianna Sagdahl is joining me now. Welcoming back to the show at Brianna9 on X. DoorToFreedom.org. She's very tied into the agricultural community, specifically when it comes to the beef industry. And we may get into some news on that. But her big story right now, Congress introduces vaccine-like immunity for pesticide manufacturers. Section 453 of the Federal House Interior Appropriations Bill has total pesticide immunity language included in it. If passed, the EPA would effectively be frozen in time and prevented from reviewing and doing its job as it relates to pesticides, herbicides, etc. You can find this and more information on her X account, which you can see on the screen there. Brianna, let me introduce it like this to you. And then you can kind of get into whether you want to comment on this angle of it or just get into the bill. I'll leave up to you. But I'm somebody that kind of comes from more of the health angle here. We've known for years about these pesticides causing cancer. It's been such a big story that they've had to settle class action lawsuits, some of the biggest ever in the agriculture community. it's well known even that if you live next to a golf course, your odds of getting cancer are actually significantly increased because of all the pesticides and stuff that they use just on a golf course. So there's a pretty well-studied history of pesticides, carcinogens, and health problems. So is that what this is about? It's because they know it, and so they're trying to get congressional immunity?
Thank you so much for having me on, Owen. And I would imagine they do know it. In fact, court documents seem to show that Monsanto, before Bayer acquired it, knew that their glyphosate product was linked to cancers such as non-Hodgkin's lymphoma going back to the 1980s. So I would imagine, yes, this is absolutely a path towards creating a new product, class of products, really very similar to vaccines, where the manufacturers are exempt from legal liability. It started at the state level, and it certainly looks as though the German or foreign-owned agrochemical giants, Monsanto Bayer, has something of a six-pronged strategy. And this is part of the federal reveal, or the federal level is being revealed at this point, which was, of course, found in this appropriations bill.
Now, I don't know how much stink there is right now in Congress. You're one of the people that lobbies for the good guys on these issues. I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene is aware of this. She's not going to be voting for this bill. What's the noise like on the Hill right now?
That's a really good question. You know, it's becoming something of a political powder keg going into the midterms. What's interesting is 2 days after the House Subcommittee on the Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies voted to pass through the fiscal year 26 appropriations bill with this immunity rider, Senator Cory Booker introduced, which is called the dropped a bill called the Pesticide Injury Accountability Act. So what I can definitively say is that Democrats appear primed and ready to run with this issue if Republicans are not willing to fight for the MAHA alliance within MAGA.
You know, that's an interesting development. And I think, you can tell me. I don't think the Democrats are an issue-based party necessarily, specifically on this, for this conversation. I don't think this is an issue for them. I think it's just anything that comes to the floor in the Trump administration, unless it's directly from a Democrat hand, they're going to vote against it. So, you know, maybe now they feel like, oh, if this gives us a political win, then we can go all in for it. They're probably going to wait and see what the Republicans want to do. But this should be, where is MAHA? I'm not hearing anything from MAHA on this. People kind of have this idea where the leader or the figurehead has to know everything that's going on and comment on everything, and that's quite difficult. So, you know, RFK Jr. may or may not even be aware of this yet, but I'd imagine if it's something that he becomes aware of, he'll stand up against it. But again, are you hearing anything about this?
Not publicly, certainly. There are some rumors going on in the back channels, of course. But, you know, ultimately, this comes down to Congress. I mean, RFK, Brooke Rollins, the president himself, they're all part of the executive branch. So this really comes down to congressional Republicans fighting for the America First agenda and whether or not they're willing to fight for the president's agenda going into the midterms. And I'll tell you, you know, it's been a very interesting ride watching Congress act over the last few weeks, that's for sure. And, you know, Owen, I think what's most important here, though, is to really look at the overview of how this bill operates, because you know, you were talking about AI and, you know, this whole idea. We've discussed kind of this concept of regulations and how certain industries are selected and protected from regulations. This bill would effectively neuter the EPA and prevent it from using funds to issue new guidance, to regulate, to act on any type of new emerging scientific evidence that proves glyphosate or any other product. For example, Syngenta Group is owned by the CCP. They make Diquat, sold as Paraquat, which is quickly taking the place of glyphosate in rural America. So any product that has been reviewed, right, it would be at least that another 15 years, for example, before the EPA could expend funds to review a product again and issue new guidance on it based on that scientific evidence.
Well, I'm somebody, you know, shut down the EPA, right? So, okay, so if we're small government people, where does this just fall on Congress then to say we need to do independent studies, or the manufacturers of these products, they need to present independent studies? Where does this lie if it's not with the EPA?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think, honestly, one of the biggest issues is the fact that these manufacturers are allowed to present their own safety data, and it's done on this quote-unquote.
So it's not even third party. It just comes from themselves.
Correct, right.
Like Mike Tyson, hey, I don't have a right hook. Don't worry about my right hook, y'all.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, that is potentially one of the issues here, is that not only do we have lobbyists that are directly appointed to oversee the policies of these federal regulatory agencies, but then the manufacturers themselves are able to present the empirical evidence on how safe their products really are. Look, if we're going to prevent the EPA from doing its job by pulling funds, then I would say, you know, at least decentralize that body of authority back to the states. The problem is that when we have a federal law that's been enacted by Congress, federal laws preempt state rights due to the supremacy clause of the Constitution, which there's been some case precedents essentially that has extended that to administrative agencies and the rules that they make. So if, for example, Congress were to pass this, it would effectively stop any failure to warn claims moving forward at the state level, because the states would not have the ability to warn, to label, to issue guidance, right, outside what the EPA has determined. And, for example, glyphosate was last reviewed in 2020. So, and that review came back showing no risk of human health concern. So if this bill were to pass as currently written, it would freeze that finding of no risk of human health concern for at least the next decade, preventing the EPA from issuing any type of new regulatory guidance or labeling, or even a warning label that says, hey, look, we have new scientific evidence and juries have found that this product may potentially lead to cancer. And frankly, that's really unacceptable. This is not an America First agenda, Owen.
Well, they do now put that on some of the glyphosate products, though, right? Don't they have those warnings on some of the product labels now?
Well, so that's interesting you bring that up. There, California, for example, passed Proposition 65, if I'm not mistaken. And so there is some inconsistencies there. And certainly Monsanto Bayer has tried to exploit that within the court system and has asked the Supreme Court, which is also one part of their six-pronged strategy, to intervene and to effectively consolidate these rulings on their behalf, naturally.
Well, yeah. And, you know, people always make the comparison with the demonization of cigarettes. And, you know, you can't put a cigarette ad on TV. They have to have all the warning labels on the cigarettes. And yet you have other products that have been known to lead to cancer, too, and they don't get that same treatment. And so you have to ask yourself why. And it does come down to the lobbyists. And so here's kind of what I've noticed just in this administration, and I have a feeling this is going to go the same way. You know, they come out and they talk about mass deportations. The big agriculture, big farming communities say, hey, we're going to lose 20% of our workforce. We're going to lose 20% of our, capabilities to put food into the grocery store. So they say, well, okay, I guess we have to make an exception for this. People were noticing, You know, RFK Jr. says we're taking these toxic food dyes out of children's food products. They're carcinogenic. So people said, well, if we knew they were carcinogenic, then why didn't we have warning labels on the food box? Like, why wouldn't they have that warning label just like a cigarette has to have on it? So that's, again, it comes down to the lobbyists. But it also sounds like there's this, I don't know if fear is the right word or hesitation, where it's like, hey, look, if these people knew the truth about their environment, if these people knew the truth about the world that they lived in, it caused a panic. We can't put this product may cause cancer on a box of cereal. We can't put this product may cause cancer on an agricultural product to get the most yield out of a product. But at the end of the day, that's the truth. So do you think that's kind of the lobbying wedge right now, is to say, hey, look, if you demonize these products, people are going to be afraid. Farmers are going to have all this legalese to go through, and it's going to hurt the production.
No, not at all. There's not a world in which farmers are going to stop using herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, or rodenticides, for that matter, right? The only difference here is that this type of legislation prevents our ability to seek remedy through the court. So it's not a matter of just having a warning label. I mean, sure, on the surface, that seems to be what this law is about. But the nuances of the law are actually very specific to failure to warn and when states, essentially an individual's constitutional rights are preempted, by federal law. And so what it ultimately comes down to is the ability to seek remedy in the court. Sorry, I live on a farm. It's a mess here. There's flies. So the problem here is that there's no reason why we should be giving foreign-owned agrochemical giants the liability immunity from the liability immunity from the American people. It just doesn't make any sense, right? That's certainly not an America First position.
Hearing it.
Or a Make America Healthy Again position. Hey, guys, we got a little interference here. Guys, hold on a second. Wait, it's all right. I warned you we were short-staffed today. Guys, did we lose our guest? We may have just lost our guest. There's short-staffed up here. We got basically two guys doing work for five guys. Brianna, are you back? We're sorry about that.
I'm here. Thank you so much.
It's one of the cases where we don't have enough chefs in the kitchen. You know, sometimes you have too many chefs in the kitchen. Right now, we don't have enough chefs in the kitchen. So one of them needs to grow a third arm. Maybe if he drinks some glyphosate, we can develop a third arm crew member and get this deal done. Okay. I'm sorry. Got a little distracted by that. All right. So bottom line, and then I'll kind of ask you my final questions here. Bottom line is, they want immunity so that what? When their pesticides cause these health problems, there's no remedy for the individual.
That's correct. That's essentially the strategy here, is to prevent the individual from suing at the state level and exercising their constitutional right to due process and remedy through the court system by effectively implementing administrative law or using administrative law to preempt constitutional rights.
Okay, now, on same general issue, but I'm curious how this applies to, you know, they've done all these different tricks to get around the organic labels, right? And so there's different things. There's USDA organic, and then there's private things like Project Non-GMO. And these major industries or the companies within them, they try to find all different loopholes to get around that and say, oh, no, it is still organic, when it really you wouldn't consider it organic, but they just find these different ways of an end around to still get the organic label put on there, so that the people that only buy organic still buy their product. Is this something that you could see leading to something similar, where you're like, hey, I don't want to have X pesticide on my apples that I buy, or, you know, I don't want to get this pesticide in my organic products, but then they just find another way where you're still getting these pesticide-laden products, and they just get an end around and they still get to label it organic?
I think that's an interesting position. You know, the laws that govern organic pesticides are a little bit different. I think, honestly, where this is heading is something closer to USDA crop insurance, for example, mandating some type of pesticide use or herbicide use in order to receive payouts for crop failure, for example. I think that if the pesticide manufacturers were to receive this type of immunity, they would push into more areas of the law so that their product is both mandatory, being shielded from liability, obviously, and then also, you know, essentially classifying everything, every other type of chemical as a pesticide, insecticide, fungicide, or rodenticide in order to bypass the review process and the legal immunity, essentially. I think we'll see something akin to what we have seen with the vaccine manufacturers.
Well, that's your big warning here. And again, people can learn more about this, or if you want to call your local representative to try to stop this. I feel like if the Democrats just decide they just want to stand in the way of anything, then it should be pretty easy to get a couple Republicans on board to stop this. You know, that you'd think that'd be pretty easy. And then I guess really the bulk of the Republicans in Congress are going to do whatever Trump tells them. So if Trump's friends in the agriculture industry say, hey, you know, we need this bill, then Trump will probably make a statement saying pass it. So then you're just going to need to find, I think the number might be 5 or 6 Republicans to block this thing. I think you'd be able to do it. I do. But I could see that going in that direction. All right, quickly, though, I want to change topics to beef here. This was a story on CNN this morning. Beef prices are the new egg prices. They're soaring. Well, they're claiming beef prices are soaring. Of course, they're using this to attack Trump. Is this really happening? I haven't noticed them soaring. It seems like they've been beef has remained expensive for about 5 years now. But is there something to this?
I don't think there's anything to it other than the fact that the Big Four packers and then, of course, the Livestock Feeders Association is placing immense pressure on both the Trump administration and Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins to reopen the border. So we have New World Screwworm that has made its way up the migrant caravan route after the biological barrier was breached in 2022. New World Screwworm is a flesh-eating parasite that burrows into the teeny tiniest of scratches in any type of warm-blooded animal, be it a human being, livestock, or wildlife. And it has effectively breached that biological barrier because there were millions of new hosts. The last time that we had to battle New World Screwworm within our own borders, it cost millions, if not billions of dollars. And this time the U.S. Department of Agriculture knows that if we were to battle this at our border again, it would be economically devastating for farmers, ranchers, and the economy of southern border states. So we have to push this back down south. And indeed, there has been a ton of pressure on Secretary Rollins from across the cattle industry to keep that border closed to live imports. However, there is a small sector that is very powerful and very wealthy that is lobbying to open that border back up, because this is where JBS, for example, or Tyson, right, they bring in their cheap imports from south of the border. And this is how they have been effectively making beef so expensive over the last 5 years, because they're bypassing U.S. farmers and ranchers with cheap grind from countries that do not share.
And bypassing the quality and all the different regulations as well.
That's right. Absolutely. So I think that this is just another media push to get her to open up that border. And I would implore the Trump administration to ignore it.
Are they trying to vaccinate us through the beef?
Well, I'm glad to say that there's currently not an mRNA vaccine in our beef supply. That isn't to say that there are not some in the pipeline, but we are not currently vaccinating cattle with mRNA type of vaccines. The hog industry is a different story, and I'd love to talk to you about that another time. But currently, the vaccines that we use in the cattle industry do not pass through meat. So cows are still safe, and our beef supply, especially grown locally and by U.S. ranchers, is the healthiest in the world.
Well, you know, we have a pretty good local chain grocery store here. Everything comes from Texas, so we're lucky with that. I still go to the farmer's market and like to get, you know, raw beef and stuff like that. You can just tell the difference. But hold on a second. Are you telling me that they're vaccinating the hogs?
They are, yes. So there is this Quivity platform that is widely used in the hog industry. And I think we should definitely have a conversation about that sometime, because it is quite concerning. And so are the reports that we're hearing on the ground as producers in terms of anaphylaxis and, you know, sometimes upwards of 30% herd loss after vaccination.
Mm. Well, as if I needed another reason to not eat pork. I quit eating pork some years ago when I started to get into the whole parasite deal and parasite cleansing. So I rarely eat much pork since the turn of 2020. Another reason not to eat it, I suppose. They're vaccinating us through the pork. So that nice crispy, greasy bacon has a little extra surprise in it. Brianna, thank you so much for your time today. Where can people follow you and keep up with this bill that we're trying to stop?
Thank you so much for asking, Owen. Yeah, people can find me on X at Brianna9. Most importantly, I would love for people to go on and check out doortofreedom.org. There's an FAQ policy brief that I've written myself. Thank you very much. On FIFRA, which is the body that governs this area of law. So if you have any questions about how federal law preempts states' rights, check out that FAQ. I would also direct people to Dr. Meryl Nass's Substack. She has such a wealth of information. And she has not only outlined the six-prong attack by Monsanto Bayer, but also the corresponding court cases and what they're up to. Lastly, Stand for Health Freedom is a wonderful organization, and they have organized an email campaign. So you can go on there and you can, it's much easier to contact the members of this committee and ask them to please vote America First.
All right, there you have it. Thank you so much for your time, trying to keep the audience up to date on all things, as much as we can, all things Make America Healthy Again. And so that's definitely one big issue, because there's no doubt, folks, they started hitting you with the glyphosates, these pesticides, cancer rates shot right up. It's very well known. All right, hour number two already in the books. Wow, we enter hour number three coming up next.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. now the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.